Yeah, sorry about that, folks. We interrupt this broadcast for a
Music Business Central podcast.
Hi, I'm Professor Pooch from Music Business Central, and I'd like to welcome you to the Music Business Radio Show. We're here to discuss the creative, business, and legal sides of the music business in plain, easy-to-understand people talk.
Hey, who's this Professor Pooch guy?
Well, I've been called Professor Pooch by my students, friends, clients, and seems everyone I run into for quite a while. So I guess that's who I am. Simply put, I've been guiding music business careers for almost 30 years now, working with singers, songwriters, musicians, and producers on the creative end, as well as guiding managers, music publishers, production companies, and indie labels on the business end. Started out in the creative end of music as a violinist when I was 8, but I quickly realized it was kind of hard to write rock songs on a violin. So I got into playing rhythm guitar as well as singing by 13, and played around with keyboard arranging and producing by the time I was 20. I received my first professional break as a rock singer-songwriter when I was 16. I had met Jimmy Einer, a big record producer of the time in New York. If his name sounds familiar, he's the brother of Donny Einer, the former big guy at Sony. I met Jimmy through a group I was producing. While I was putting together my first album, a song I wrote with another writer for a separate project was coming out on a major label without my name on it. At that point, I decided I'd better step back and learn and experience the business side of the music business as well as the artistic side. To make a very long story very short, well, given the so-called star treatment as a singer-songwriter with a couple major hit record producers, I picked up everything I could from my music business surroundings, working in and around publishing, management, and record companies. As I was really learning the business and legal side of the music industry, singers, songwriters, and musicians, producers, etc., started coming to me asking for help regarding their careers. I realized how much I really enjoyed helping people get in, survive, and succeed without getting ripped off. And I found myself guiding people's careers. In 1991, I was asked to develop and teach the songwriting, music publishing, artist management, and entertainment law classes at the Art Institute of Philadelphia in the various music business departments. It was there that I realized I loved teaching and helping others as much as I enjoyed making music. Presently, besides guiding and representing many creative, musical, and entertainment business clients, I still try to find some time to write and produce. I also write and run ProfessorPooch.com, a large music business education and resource center website. So there you have it, Professor Pooch in a box.
You want a treat? You want a treat? How about a pooch bit?
Everyone in the music industry should have a website. A great looking one, easy to look at, and easy for anyone to find their way around. Now, who knows it exists? Have you notified all the search engines? Do you have your website and email address on everything you show or send out? Are you using just as much creativity to market your website as you or your artist uses to create their music?
And now, for another episode of
Pooch's Pet Peeves.
Musicians forming bands, making sure that they hire no one who is better than them talent-wise or image-wise. They're so afraid of having somebody stand out apart from them on the stage and get all the glamour and whatever you call it, and they can't handle that. I don't know about you, but when I put a band together, when I was performing, I wanted everybody better than me. The better they sound, the better I sound.
Wow, this music business is totally crazy. I have a lot of questions. I guess I'll have to ask the professor.
A question I seem to be asked almost every day is, how do you copyright a band's name? Well, you can't. You cannot copyright a name. In fact, you cannot copyright a title or a short phrase either. You can protect your name by trademarking your name. And you should trademark your band name before you sign with a manager or production or record company. You want to own your own name. What can happen if someone else owns your name? Well, for example, I've seen managers booking groups under a name where none of the original members even exist anymore. Now, the minimum cost of a trademark will be $275 if you file electronically through the government's trademark site. You can also have an attorney do it, but it will obviously be more expensive. For complete instructions on how to trademark your name, email me at pooch@professorpooch.com. Well, another true story in the music industry. Now this, some people might think is funny, but it wasn't funny to this group. There was this lead singer of this group who will remain nameless at this time, who, after recording an album and waiting 2 years for something to happen, she got literally so pissed at the record company, literally, that she got up on the president of the record company's desk, pulled down her underpants, and peed all over his desk. She couldn't take it anymore. She said, you know, like, this is what I think of you and your company. Well, the problem is in recording contracts, it doesn't say that they ever have to release any recordings that you've recorded. But how do you solve something like this so that this doesn't happen? Well, it brings up a point of the day that I can bring up to you. It's called the escape clause. An escape clause is a way out of a mess. There's three parts to an escape clause. You have to have a specific goal that has to be reached in a specific period of time, or you're out of the contract. Now, what could have been done about this? They could say, well, if your record, the artist's record, is not released nationally through normal retail channels, that they're out of the contract if it's not done in, like, say, a year. That way you don't have to sit around forever waiting and your career is constantly on hold. So remember, in any type of contract, you need a way to escape.
What does it take? Do you have what it takes to be a superstar?
If you had the chance to find the next artist or band whom you think could have a great chance of making it big in the music industry, what would you be looking for? What would make these artists special to you? Well, if I was a manager or producer or record company, I would only want to sign someone whom I believe could become what they call a superstar, because I would be spending lots of valuable time and effort on this artist. My rule of thumb is, not only do I need to, obviously, love their music, I gotta believe that he, she, or they are so creative and so marketable, which just means lots of people want to buy their CDs and see them perform, I'd be really stupid if I didn't sign them. In my opinion, a successful recording and performing artist has these unique qualities. Number one, they have drive. They have insatiable ambition. They will settle only for the top. They're obsessed with making it big. They won't let anything get in their way. They are persistent. They believe in hard work on and off the stage. They give it all they have all the time. Number two, they have magic. They seem to glow in the dark. They create electricity. They have sex appeal. They have charisma. They have the look. Call it what you want. I call it magic. When you see them, you are glued to them and they won't let you go. You are mesmerized. Number three, they're great entertainers. They're not just singers or musicians. They have style. They have great showmanship. They are alive. They enjoy entertaining. Their performance comes from their heart, not their head. They have fun. They still have that little kid in them. Number four, they have great songs. Their songs grab you, hypnotize you, and take you away to another world or another dimension. Number five, they are unique, but they are also marketable. They stand out from the crowd and other artists. They have their own musical sound, their own image, but they still must be marketable. That is, many people will want to buy their product. Number six, they have loads of confidence. They believe in themselves so much that they are able to let down all their walls and are not afraid to be vulnerable and sensitive to their audience. There's never a fear of success. Number seven, they have the right team. Their managers, record companies, publicists, whatever, promote the hell out of them. And number eight, they know and accept that the music business is a business. We'll be right back. Just like you should check out anyone you intend to do business with of any kind, you should check me out too. And it's very easy to check me out and at the same time find lots of free and valuable information. Please come visit me at my large music business educational resource center, www.professorpooch.com, for all kinds of interesting stuff. My aim being to help you get in, survive, and succeed without getting ripped off. Whether you are or would like to be a singer, a musician, songwriter, publisher, manager, producer, production company, or indie label, or you're just curious about the music industry and what it's all about, you'll find tons of music biz tips and information on a variety of subjects in ProfessorPooch.com's free library. For example, everything you ever wanted to know about music copyrights, including step-by-step information on filling out the copyright forms. This site also has my book and courses on the music industry for you to check out, with lots of sample pages. And remember, if you have any questions regarding the music business or need my help regarding the creative, business, or legal sides of the music business, you can email me at pooch@professorpooch.com. So, if you want to learn how the music business really operates, come visit us at professorpooch.com. Back again on the Music Business Radio Show. I'm your host, Professor Pooch.
Well, hey there, puppies. Hey there, pup. What you want? You want another pooch bit? Okay, here's another pooch bit.
Hey, for those of you who want to become a manager someday, here's a hint for you. Be picky, real picky when you're thinking of representing anyone. Remember, when you hand in a recording to a record company to possibly help move your artist up the ladder, your name is on the line. Are you willing to stake your reputation on that person?
Freeze! I need to see your license and registration. No, I meant your business license and band name registration. You're in violation of one of Professor Pooch's top 10 music business laws. 1.
You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. I forget who I stole it off of. I think it was a dandruff commercial, and who knows who they stole it off of. But you know what it's like when you first meet someone? You get a first impression of that person that could be slightly to very positive, slightly to very negative, or maybe just non-existent. Using that rule of thought, when you or your product is presented to someone new, that first impression can get you a contact, a contract, the exit door, or simply total disinterest. And this will also usually affect any future presentations to this person. And you want, really need, to open doors wide, not shut them. My point? Make a rip-roaring first impression.
2.
Your name. It's the most important thing you have. How you treat it will determine your success. You see, you are known by your name in the music business. Everything you do is under a microscope. Do whatever is necessary to keep your name in good standing by only presenting and representing great product. And remember that if when you represent someone else's product, your name is the one on the line.
3.
2 rules for success. Have fun and be professional. These are the 2 rules with which I govern my business, my art, and my life. 1. You should be having fun doing what you do. If you're not, why are you doing it? If you aren't having fun, your product will look and or sound dead. Also, 2. You must professionally create and or produce and or handle the product. That is, get it done, done completely, and done well. You can then proudly say, this is mine.
4.
Making it in the music business consists of 1/3 talent, 1/3 luck, and 1/3 persistence. You can make your own luck by being persistent. The odds are more and more in your favor the more persistent you are. If you are persistent, there's much better chance you'll be in the right place at the right time. And that's called luck.
5.
Get your foot in the door any way you can. Whether it's by being creative in your presentation, or you just plain knock the door down by being persistent. Get your foot in the door. Even if you have to give in a little, it's worth a lot in the long run. You gotta start somewhere if you want to finish at the top.
6.
10% of something is worth way more than 100% of nothing. Don't insist on all the power or all the money. If you want it all, you'll get none. 10% of something in the music business can be a lot of money. By taking 10% now, you have your foot in the door to make much more than that 10%. A fact. You could be the most creative person in the world, but if somebody can't make a fair amount of money from you or your product, your career is dead.
7.
Be just as creative on the business end as you or your client is on the creative end. Creativity in how you run your business and how you are presented and promoted will make your business successful. You and or your product will be noticed and stand out from the others.
8.
Remember, the music business is a business. Keep your eyes wide open. If you do, there'll be less of a chance you'll be screwed, and more of a chance you'll be successful. And again, remember that if someone can't make a fair amount of money off you or your product, forget it.
9.
Never burn bridges. You need every contact you can make. Even if they turn you down today, be diplomatic and at least start a relationship with this person that could blossom in the future. Be professional. You don't have to agree with someone's opinion. Leave the door open. You never know what benefits that relationship will have in the future. You must realize that that lonely assistant you might have yelled at may be the president of a company you wish to do business with someday.
10.
Good is not good enough. If you want to be at the top, you and your product must be great. There are tons of good singers, good songwriters, good producers, etc. You want to and need to stand out from the others. Be greater than great. Be outstanding.
It's now time for Professor Pooch's Sermon of the
I was talking to the singer of a local band that we'll call the Wannabes, and he was wondering why his band wasn't able to draw too many people to their performances, while this other band who wasn't half as good drew lots more people. Well, I had heard of this other band by name, and I decided to go see them perform, and I took the singer with me. The place was packed. I could just about walk around in there. The band got up to play, and the singer was right. This band didn't have the greatest musicians or singers. However, it was quite obvious why they drew lots of people. They hypnotized their audience. You couldn't take your eyes off them. I had the singer think about a wide variety of well-known performers. Michael Jackson, Prince, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan, Frank Sinatra, whomever. Now what do these people who perform totally different styles of music have in common besides obviously being well known? None of them can be seriously considered good looking, and none of them have particularly great voices. One major plus, however, that is obvious to me about these performers is that each of them was definitely a great communicator. It didn't matter whether it was on records or on stage. They communicated with you. The reason the Wannabes, as well as many other bands, may never make it is because they don't communicate with their audience. And they can't communicate with their audience because they spend too much of their time on stage or in a recording studio thinking. They're thinking about any and everything instead of their audience. They're thinking about how they and their fellow musicians and singers look and sound. They're thinking about whether or not the audience will like them. They're thinking about whether or not they'll hit the notes they have to hit. They're thinking about their equipment. They're thinking about all of the above, some of the above, none of the above. It doesn't matter. All their thinking, planning, worrying, whatever you want to call it, should have been nailed down before their performance. Except for their friends, enemies, and relatives, whose opinions don't count anyway because they're slanted, the Wannabes won't be able to fool their audience. If they want to grab their audience and make them a fan of theirs, their audience has to feel like the artist is talking personally to them, in effect, including them in their performance. The audience isn't dumb. If the artist is too busy thinking of themselves and their music instead of feeling what they're doing, the audience won't be able to become a part of the experience. To capture an audience and become a huge success, the music's got to bypass the artist's brain and come straight from the heart. Simply put, it's impossible to think and communicate at the same time. Thinking is one step removed from communicating. Thinking is inward because you're thinking about yourself, putting a wall up between yourself and your audience, while communicating is outward, opening yourself up to your audience. Now, obviously, an artist can't draw a lot of people into their camp unless they're properly promoted. But what good is promoting an artist unless the artist can make their potential fans come again and again once they hear the artist or see them perform? If a person becomes a fan, they will talk about the artist to others, like, "Hey, you gotta see this band." And the others will talk to still more others, and word of mouth, the greatest kind of promotion, will happen. Then the singer or band will graduate and become more than just a singer or band. They'll become known by their name. Well, that about wraps up this show for today. Our aim is always to entertain you as well as inform you about the exciting music industry. I'd like to thank Anthony of Sonic Movement for his great help in putting this show together. Well, it's time to say goodbye from Music Business Central, and at the same time say, welcome to the music business. Bye-bye.
David J. Spangenberg, more commonly known as Professor Pooch, is a music business consultant, educator, advisor, and contract specialist who has been successfully guiding musical and music business careers for over 25 years. This has been a fully copyrighted production of Music Business Central, and neither the entirety nor any part thereof may be reproduced in any form without the express written permission of Music Business Central. For more information, email pooch@professorpooch.com.